Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Welcome back to our next lesson in our Old Testament Bible History Series. This is Lesson 51, based on the Book of Ruth. In my town, where I live, if you have a pet dog, they are not allowed to run loose off of their leash. But on the farms outside of town, the dogs always run loose. Those dogs are smart enough to know that they should stay on the farm. My sister, who lives on a farm, had two dogs just like this. They were never on the leash and always stayed close to the farm. But one day, they went for a run. They ran into town, and soon they were captured by the town officials who were responsible for making sure that people's dogs were always on the leash. The dogs were captured and put in a pen. They really did not like this, of course, because they were used to the wide open space of the farm. My sister loved those dogs so much and was so worried about them. She went out looking for them and eventually found out where they were being kept. But in order to get these dogs back, she had to pay the town a very large fine. Yes, in order to purchase back her dogs who had run away, she had to pay a type of ransom. This is kind of what an Old Testament redeemer would do. A redeemer was a male family member who would go to help a family member in great need or danger. To redeem something is to buy back a lost possession. Now, that is very important to understand the story of Ruth. And so let's turn in our Bibles to the Book of Ruth. Elimelech was an Israelite man who lived during the time of the Judges. He was a good man who worshipped God, and he avoided idol worship. His wife was Naomi, and they were blessed with two sons, who are young men at the time of our story. They lived in Bethlehem. Our story starts as a famine hits this area. For several years, there was no rain, no crops, and no food. But across the border, to the east, in Moab, there is food. Elimelech decides that Moab is the place to go in order to take care of his family. They will stay in Moab until the famine ends and then return to their family land in Bethlehem. That's right. They did not sell their land. This land had to stay within their family. Off they go to Moab and to better times. But times actually get worse, because Elimelech dies, and now Naomi is a widow. She relies on her two sons to take care of her. Her sons marry two local women named Ruth and Orpah. Living with Naomi's family meant they began to hear about the one true God. They begin to hear stories from Israel's history, like you have been hearing. They see Naomi's example, that this God of Israel is a wonderful God. They want to worship the God of Israel too. As time goes on, more disaster strikes, for both of the sons die. Naomi has lost her husband and her sons. Who will take care of her now? Ruth and Orpah are also widows. Soon Naomi heard that God had sent plentiful rains to the land of Israel. The famine was over. She had lost her husband and her sons, and she wanted to go back home. There, she would be with family and friends. She shares this news with her two daughters-in-law. Both Ruth and Orpah want to go with her, and they start out on their journey back to the family land in Bethlehem. They've been walking for some time, maybe a few hours, maybe a day, when Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, "Thank you very much for walking with me. That is very kind of you, but you had better return to the house of your own family back in Moab. May God be so kind to you as you have been to me and my sons. Hopefully God provides a new husband for you." Ruth and Orpah weep and insist on going with Naomi. "Really, my daughters, it is better for you to go back to your homes." Orpah dries her tears, hugs her mother-in-law, kisses her, and wishes her well. She turns to leave and travel back to Moab. Ruth, on the other hand, is having none of this. She hugs her mother-in-law and says, "Do not tell me to leave you. I love you and want to stay with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people shall be my people. Your God will be my God. I'll stay with you till one of us dies." Well, this convinced Naomi that Ruth really wanted to become an Israelite and wanted to leave Moab. She traveled on with Ruth, crossing the Jordan and on to Bethlehem. 10 years have passed since Elimelech had left Bethlehem. Now, when Naomi entered Bethlehem with Ruth, people looked at her. They saw how sad and tired she looked. "Is that Naomi who left with her husband and her sons?" Naomi says, "I have had a lot of bitter trouble since I left. My husband and my two sons have died, and I have come back alone." Well, these people of Bethlehem were nice, and they welcomed her and Ruth back. They even lived in Naomi's old house where she had lived 10 years ago. Ruth was able to keep busy because she joined the harvesters in the barley fields. As a poor widow, she was permitted to go to the barley fields and pick up the grain that the harvesters had missed or let fall to the ground. That was one of the laws that God had given in order for the poor people to be provided for. Ruth began gathering this grain in a field that belonged to a local man named Boaz. Boaz was wealthy enough to hire a lot of harvesters to take care of his fields. He was a really nice man and a good boss, because as soon as he arrived at the field, he greeted his workers with the words, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless thee." Boaz then turned his attention to the gleaners who were following after his harvesters. He noticed Ruth, because she was new, and said to his servant, "Please, tell me about this young girl." "Ah, yes, that is the girl from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked permission to glean after the harvesters." Hearing this, Boaz went to Ruth and spoke kindly to her, welcoming her and giving her permission to glean in his fields all the time. Ruth could not believe the kindness of this strange man towards her. She bowed down to him and asked why he would be so kind to her. Boaz says, "Well, I have heard how kind you have been to Naomi and how you have come to live here. The Lord will reward you for placing your trust in him." Boaz must have heard the story of how God had worked in Ruth's heart. At dinner time, Ruth is given a special invitation to sit with Boaz and his harvesters. She is given some of the food. Boaz talks to his harvesters and says, "Let Ruth glean wherever she wants. In fact, make sure you drop some grain on purpose for her." Later that night, Ruth returned home. When Naomi heard that she was in the field of Boaz, she was thrilled and told Ruth to go nowhere else except to the fields of Boaz. She tells Ruth that Boaz is actually related to her husband Elimelech. This means that Boaz is actually a redeemer for Naomi and Ruth. He is someone they can rely on for help, to rescue them, to help them. This is necessary because both of them are widows. One night, Naomi sends Ruth to the threshing floor where the harvesters are sleeping. Ruth wakes up Boaz and explains her situation to him, that she is a widow and that he is a redeemer that can help her. Boaz treats Ruth very respectfully and kindly. "Blessed be thou of the Lord," he says to her. Now, it was the custom in Israel that when a man died, someone who was a near relative should marry his wife if they had no children. Now, there was another redeemer, another male family relative that was a closer relative than Boaz was. And that man should have the first opportunity to be the one to look after Ruth and Naomi. The following morning at the city gate, the place where business was done and business agreements made, Boaz meets with this family relative. He invites him to purchase the land of Elimelech and to marry Ruth. Purchasing the land was one thing, but marrying Ruth meant that he would eventually have to give up the land to the children that he would have with Ruth. This man declines and refuses the opportunity to be the redeemer of Ruth and Naomi. And so, that means that Boaz is next in line to be the redeemer. He, of course, is eager to buy the land and marry Ruth. Ruth and Boaz are happy to be married to each other, and Naomi is very pleased also. After some time, God blesses Ruth and Boaz with a son. They name him Obed. This little baby boy would be the grandfather of the great King David, who we will hear about shortly. And of course, from David's family would come the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. After all the stories of Israel's national sins in the book of Judges, in this book, we are introduced to Ruth, a woman from Moab, who heard of the Lord God of Israel and was given faith to place her trust in him. In this story, God reveals a little more of who he is and what he does. He is a redeemer that redeems or buys back something that is lost. The picture of a redeemer in this story is meant to point us to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the redeemer. I will use just a couple of examples from this story to picture or illustrate how the Lord Jesus is the redeemer this story points to. First of all, Boaz loved Ruth and was very glad to redeem Ruth and Naomi. It cost him quite a bit. He had to purchase the land, pay for the wedding, and agree to take care of Ruth and Naomi for the rest of their lives. The idea of a redeemer being a close family member is found in God's covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. This redeemer family member had responsibilities that included redeeming land and also providing a heir for a family member that had died childless. So in this case, the children of Ruth and Boaz would be considered the descendants of Elimelech and allow Elimelech's land to continue to remain in the family line. Next, the example of a redeemer reminds us of God's care for the widows and the oppressed. In Proverbs 23 is the reminder to people to enter not into the field of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. God has special care for the widows and the fatherless. The idea of a Redeemer is found in the covenant relationship between God and Israel. In fact, the Bible speaks often about God redeeming the nation of Israel. When the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians, God said to them, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm." So Israel would be redeemed from slavery. What do you and I need to be delivered from? From the slavery of sin. Redemption is not only buying back land or slaves, but it's meant to also be a picture of the release from the slavery of sin. Psalm 130 ends with that phrase, "And he shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities." So, if the whole picture of Boaz as Redeemer comes to a full and perfect version with the birth of the Lord Jesus, let's consider how he is the Redeemer. God has also provided a Redeemer for lost and sinful people. God sent his own Son as a Redeemer. God sent forth his own Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's in Galatians 4. The Lord Jesus redeems his people from all slavery to sin. The Lord Jesus also redeems from the curse of the law, from the penalty of sins in the past. Galatians 3, verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." The Lord Jesus also redeems his people from the power of Satan and death. Those things have no more lasting power and hold no more threat to those people whom Jesus has redeemed. The ransom price the Lord Jesus paid as Redeemer was to suffer his whole life and finally to die a cursed death on the cross. His suffering, life, and death was the ransom price he paid. Listen again to God's word in Mark 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And from Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." It's important to close with what the purpose of redemption is. In our story, we might think that Ruth deserves to be redeemed by Boaz, since she has been so nice and good to Naomi. But sinners do not deserve redemption. God's work of redemption through his Son is to bring all honor and glory to his name alone. It is so that the glory of his grace would be praised by the whole world. What will the sinner do when they are redeemed? They will praise God with the words of Psalm 71, verse 23. "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I shall sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed." In our next lesson, we will meet another woman of the Bible. Her name is Hannah. The story will be about her son Samuel in lesson 52, Samuel Judges Israel.